it's amazing the different reaction I get if I'm swimming that rapid. Yeah. Or cleaning that rapid. Yeah. And I'll tell you, if I have the nicest run, that felt great. I might get a golf clap.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
If I'm swimming it, I'm like, woo, people want to carry my board back and tell me how amazing
they're
that
like
was.
Slapping you on the back and you're like, yeah, I swam that.
October 30th, 2023. In this episode, we're talking with Megan Christian about Nemesis Rapids. Those features on a river that we just can't get the first time we run them. Maybe the second time, maybe the third time, maybe the fourth time. Maybe we still haven't gotten a clean run on that rapid. We all have those features. We all have those rapids, those Nemesis Rapids. Nemesis Rapids. And also river classifications. Are there differences between different crafts on rivers? I think there are, and so I give a little bit of a definition of what I consider the river classification for paddleboards. Enjoy the show.
Nemesis Rapids.
Over the years, I've paddled over 160 rivers around the world, including Japan, Austria, Slovenia, Canada, all throughout the United States, including these marvelous mountains of the Appalachia where we're at right now. And there's something that I've found consistent with all of these. There's at least one rapid that I think about, I study, I try, I fail, I succeed, I get up and I do it again. Sometimes I watch other people clean it on site. First time, it's like they're doing it, something magic. Sometimes I see people work out on it over and over and never quite get it. My Nemesis Rapid was the rapid that I began paddling at. Big Eddy, the notch on the Deschutes River outside of Bend. For 2 years straight, winter and summer, I would go there and work on various sections of this rapid. And finally, I was able to go up to the notch. This was basically 2013, 2014. There was one YouTube video of a paddleboarder on it.
God, but he was
riding his belly. He was riding on a belly and just going through it. So there was nobody doing it with me. I was just doing it and saying what was possible on a paddleboard. So that was definitely my Nemesis Rapid, and they still exist.
So I've heard you tell that story before, and even more detail around that particular rapid. And so it was really cool this summer to get to go and to see that rapid with you and to look at it. And I thought it was really cool hearing you talk about it, because you talked about it. It sounds like a puzzle when you talk about it. You're like, okay, you have to do this through the section unless the water level's at this. But if the water level's at this, you have to do this. Like, you had like these points, you had things that you had to do to make it all work. And it was so cool to hear your thought process that you had landed at after years of or session after session after session. Mm-hmm. And was that one you could session?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
When I was finally doing the notch itself, so the Big Eddy itself is a rapid with five named rapids.
Yeah.
Maytag at the top. Right. You have the notch, followed by the Three Stooges, and then it goes around the corner and has a couple of other ones.
I just saw the three, Maytag.
Exactly. So, since running the top, it's 200 meters, two football field length of fairly straightforward river over lava, rock, and ledges and pushy current. You get out and walk back up 200 yards and do it again. In a session when I was doing it regularly, when I was living in Bend, I would do 10 laps a day in 2 hour period.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And this is a section where the commercial whitewater rafting takes place in
Bend. I forgot that there was rafters going through there. So you were having to time it. I mean, you have to be aware of who else is on the river with you.
Oh yeah, you have had to have an audience. So doing it with the raft guides, of course, they scout Big Eddy. All the raft guides know how to run it. They don't need to scout it, but it's a part of build up for the client. They look at the notch in particular. And when here's this random solo paddleboarder going down there, I knew the raft guides then, but I don't think they were always pleased to see me unless I was swimming. And then they'd be like, oh yeah, look at that fool.
Yeah, it doesn't make it look too good for the clients that are on the rafts if this paddleboarder's just like bossing it through there.
This is dangerous. This is what? Yeah. Is that a guy on a paddleboard?
Oh, I love it.
And I'll tell you, when it comes to rapids that people could see easily, and random people, joggers, baby strollers, mountain bikers. That's a part of the Deschutes River Trail. So it's a popular pedestrian destination. It's amazing the different reaction I get if I'm swimming that rapid or cleaning that rapid. Yeah. And I'll tell you, if I have the nicest run, that felt great. I might get a golf clap.
Yeah, if you're lucky.
If I'm swimming it, I'm like, woo, people want to carry my board back and tell me how amazing
that
was.
They're slapping you on the back and you're like, yeah, I swam that. So it's funny that you mentioned that. And I find that to be the same here. So that's apparently not a cultural thing. I think that's almost, you know, people like to see the carnage. People want, that's what is entertaining. And if someone, sometimes I watch you run stuff and you make it look so easy that it seems like it makes it look not difficult. So I think it doesn't, I think that's part of it. It doesn't look as difficult when someone cleans it really easily. Like, oh yeah, he or she made it look like a, you know, piece of cake.
I think that's one of the wonderful things about, and complicated things about videos, YouTube. If you're looking at my video channel, the Stepfall video channel, you'll see me posting a lot of B-roll of athletes ideally cleaning rapids.
Yeah.
And if they're not cleaning rapids, they're sessioning, they're falling, they're getting back up and doing it again. I'm not one of those big proponents of the social media wipeout Wednesday where all you see is the carnage reels. Mm. I'd like to see the progression. I'd like to see the invitation. But after a while, I think a general audience, and maybe audience correct me if I'm wrong, once you've seen it, you've seen it.
Yeah,
once you've seen my video footage, all right, it's Paul. It's B-roll, it's some unlicensed music. It's 2 or 3 minutes long, and let's go see the next video. And I think river paddleboarding, for the most part, that's what the media looks like. You just see a couple of people, handful of people, a dozen people who are doing the same thing over and over again. And I'm certainly no stranger to that world. I'm a part of it. I'm one of those people who probably, people see my videos 10 times, they're like, oh, I've got it. I don't need to see it again. Unsubscribe or whatever it is. Yeah. But watching a video of a paddleboarder who's cleaning a rapid is different than trying it and doing it yourself. How were you introduced to river paddle? How did you notice it? How did you see it? How were you introduced to it?
So I was a kayaker, and I remember, I wonder how long ago, maybe it was 7 or 8 years ago now, on one of our local rivers. And I remember very clearly which river it was, who I was with, when I saw these people on paddleboards, and they looked unsure. So the people on the paddleboards looked unsure, and the group of kayakers, we all kind of looked at each other like, what are they doing? And they were wobbly, you know, but it never even crossed my mind. And it was kind of a day that things shifted a little bit. And my first thought was, why in the heck would they want to do that on a paddleboard? So I wasn't instantly like, yeah, that looks like fun. I was like, what are those fools doing? Right. And then but progressively that whole season, here and there, I would see a paddleboarder, and I was struggling a little bit with my own paddling.
Your kayaking.
My own kayaking, yeah, in certain ways. And I had some frustrations. And so I just think it just got stuck in my brain, right? And then I did some lake paddleboarding. And as a kayaker that had been in whitewater for years, once I got on a paddleboard in a lake and started playing around just on the board, like, what does it feel like? What does it look like if I do this or like this? Then it started kind of making more sense to me once I could feel it. And I was like, well, I'd like to try this. And I didn't know any paddleboarders. I just had my kayaking friends, and I ended up purchasing a paddleboard, but not the paddleboard I should have purchased. So I wish I would have spent a little bit more money and gotten a better whitewater paddleboard. But it got me out on the river, and then I started paddleboarding with my kayaking friends. And I think as anyone that very first starts doing it, you know, I felt very uncoordinated and all over the place, and it took almost nothing to throw me off the board. And luckily, I was comfortable with the river enough so that when I swam, which is all I did, I was okay with it. I was able to laugh and be like, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to get this. And so that's how I got started.
I love that beginning. looking at people doing it and initially scoffing at it. Look at those fools. And the party that we're at last night, we're at a Halloween party, and there was a river, a new enthusiast to river paddleboarding. He was talking about some videos of mine that he had seen. We have not paddled with him, but he was talking about the first time he saw river paddleboarders. They were doing these jerky movements and looked off balance and awkward.
Yeah.
I think as river paddleboarding becomes more of a thing with a broad curriculum and different board shapes and different paddlers of different sizes, different ages, different genders, different backgrounds, different river backgrounds, people are becoming more dynamic, and I think it's going to be funner for people to watch, at least, and maybe want to try it. But the topic of this episode is Nemesis Rapids.
Nemesis. We all have them.
Laughing and falling. Are there a couple of river rapids of yours that you've been challenged by and are overcoming?
So I had one. I've had one for a year. So I consider myself still a newbie to paddleboarding. Mm-hmm. I'm still learning. Every single time I go out, I learn so much.
That's why I love paddling with you and talking with you, because it reminds me of some pretty fundamental things. What to wear on the river, how to read water, how you're standing on a board.
Well, and I want to take just a second away from Nemesis Rapid and go back to something that you were talking about, content, online content. So I will say that as a new paddleboarder, it was a little overwhelming to me because I was curious. I didn't know many other paddleboarders, so I went online and started looking up river paddleboarding. And a lot of the content I saw was really good paddleboarders cleaning these rapids. And looking at that, and it was big, big water. That's what people post a lot. And so it was overwhelming looking at that. I was like, oh, that doesn't feel very achievable to me. You know, I'm not sure that I can do that. What does that look like? So it was a little overwhelming. So I think the content discussion is really relevant and interesting as well. It was a little off-putting. It was awesome. Oh my God, that guy just ran that waterfall type of thing. Holy cow. Okay, so that's
what's
possible.
I'm never going to do that. Next video, please.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so that's what these super athletes, these really talented people can do, but it felt unachievable. Like it was hard for me to connect to that. So in some ways, I'm glad I didn't let that slow me down.
Wonderful.
So I wanted to go back to that for a second. But going forward to Nemesis Rapids. So I have a section of the river here in Western North Carolina. I've run so many times, and there is the whole rest of it is easy peasy. You know, it's a cakewalk. It's fun. It's a good place to run or to learn. It's not big water at all.
Which river is this?
So it's the Lower Nolichucky River.
The Lower Noli.
And on the Lower Noli, what is that, class one? Maybe
it's a class two.
Class two.
There's ledges. It's shallow. It's technical water.
It's shallow, yeah.
But you have radio tower.
So you have this silly rapid called Radio Tower. It's right next to a radio tower, hence the name.
And it's shoals. It's just shallow. It's shallow class two.
It is so tricky. And it's so different depending on the water level. And so I kept running it on my knees.
A great place to be.
Oh, yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. All I'm saying is I swim every single time on my knees, and I get so frustrated, and it's not one that you can easily session. So you have to, you know, and so it is one, though, that every single time I do it, I'm like, oh, if I would have just done this, and if I would have just done that, and if I would have been one, you know, half a foot to the right or half a foot to the left, or if I, whatever, that, you know, we all know the thought
patterns.
I'll
try to do it next time, because there is no session of it.
There's no session, and I know you went with me once, and you dropped me. Mm-hmm. You would drive me up and drop me off, and I'd run like a quarter of the river again to get back to that one. And everyone I talked to was like, hey, it's just actually a really squirrely kind of weird rapid. Like a lot of people struggle with
it. People have broken themselves on it, and it's shallow. It's shallow class two, and I think shallow class two is the worst.
It's not just a class two.
That's what the guidebook says.
Even but at the bottom?
The bottom has a rock you could get pushed up to into the current. It's a capsizing. For paddleboarders, we'll call it a three for sure. But yeah. It's shallow.
The top part's super shallow, and there's a lot of some technical, there's some holes at the bottom. Luckily, it's kind of deep at the bottom, so if you swim, it is deep down there. So anyway, that was my first Nemesis Rapid, and I was able to finally run it.
You were so frustrated with it.
Oh, I was so frustrated
with it. You were thinking about it. You would be talking about it when we weren't even in river gear.
I probably run it 15 times on my knees and swum every single time. I haven't even, yes, I'm getting frustrated just talking about it. Actually, so that felt really good. And so, you know, I haven't that river gets really low, so I've not been running that as much. And so,
prohibitively low for the last few months since I've been back. At least I haven't been back there.
No, you haven't
since coming back in late August.
Yeah, we should head back over there soon.
Rain.
I know.
We're in late October and we're paddling today in board shorts, literally board shorts on the French Broad, practicing. Awesome. Some moves on the shorter boards. All right, what's more current?
Okay, so more current is the Nantahala River, which I consider my hometown river. I consider that my personal, my home river.
The NOC.
And I've been on that river in multiple ways for 20 years, 30 years now, probably, honestly. So rafting, fun yakking, or whatever those little inflatable fun yaks, and then kayaking. You know, I worked at NOC. So, you know, I know that river well. But there's this one rapid at the very bottom. They call it Nantahala Falls. It is not a falls at all.
I like to call it the photographer's rapid.
I know. No one calls it that but you. And if you call it that, I mean, that's where the photographer is,
and it's one little rapid.
I think they call it Little Weser, and I think Big Weser is below, and I may be wrong. So, you know, I may be wrong, but I think that's really what it's called.
And Big Weser is a solid, stout class four that really nobody goes to because of the consequences with the ledge there.
Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah.
Have you run it?
I haven't, but Dominique, the teenager who's in in New Zealand right now, comes from a family of whitewater kayakers. He's all about that. I don't know if he's run it. I think he has. I don't know what his success rate is, but
interesting.
Yeah, that's the only time I've actually walked down there is with him scouting it and him really being dismissive of both Jack and me for not wanting to run it.
To run it? Yeah, like, neither of you guys wanted to. Punk. You're like, yeah, I don't need to do that.
Oh, yeah. If you fall off at all, you're just going to be smashed on rocks and then the waterfall. Yeah, great.
Oh, awesome. Oh, I'm surprised you didn't go for that. I'm glad you didn't. Well, before that, there's a class three? I don't know.
Photographer's rapid.
The photographer's rapid. And so, you know, I kayaked it and I've boated it so many times and haven't blinked an eye, you know, eyelash at it. I just keep going. But then it's been a little different doing it on a paddleboard. And so the whole rest of the river is fine. And then I reached that. And so what has it been? At least a year that I've been trying to run that. And for the first 6 months, I would drop to my knees. I ended up getting a line where I was cleanly running it on my knees. Not the line, not the best line, but I was able to clean it. And so after cleaning it, I don't know, so many times, I was just like, okay, it's time for me to try. And I liked, I wasn't like, I'm going to go full standing. What I was aiming for was just to get a little more vertical each time, a little higher. That's what I'd say. Okay, this time I'm going to get a little higher on my board than last time.
Two knees, one knee, yeah. Squatting in a stand.
Yeah, exactly. So each time, that was my theory. I was like, if each time I can, you know, dial in my line, try it, because there's different lines you can take through there. And so each time, but what would happen is I would get right up to it and I'd drop. And what it, there's a little bit of a complication to it for me. There's this kind of sticky wave train that you have to get through to get even to the rapid. And so what was happening is I was getting knocked to my knees sometimes before I even reached the rapid. And then what would happen is I'd be like, well, I'm already on my knees. It's this big rapid. I'm just going to run it as is. And so part of what's happened in the past 3 months or 2 months, 2 or 3 months is me changing my mentality of thinking, no, damn it. Even if I'm knocked to my knees, I'm going to stand back up. I'm going to try this standing. And I've swum that rapid so many times. It's fine. to swim it. And so I think it really
was... If you don't lose your gear, I've seen kayakers swim there and their boats go right through the ONLC, yeah. The Nantahala Outdoor Center.
Yeah, there was someone throwing a rope to someone when we were there last time. That was distracting. So I think it's been really great. And it is an easy one to session. Very easy. And so...
Get out of the bottom, walk back to the top.
And just walk back up. And so I think there was a day and you went with me and you were so... you know, as always, sweet and patient and just like watching me just session it over and over and over and over again. And then I'm able to see it from the top up, you know, from the top down, looking down on it from all the different angles, and then started trying some different lines.
Video analysis, and being quickly, video analysis helps. So being able to be on the shore, at least the river right side of it with my camera, with a drone, and getting that idea. So a lot of the times the videography itself is simply video analysis. What's your stance? What's the line? How close did you get? Were you doing what you actually thought you were doing?
Well, and watching you do it. So also watching you run it, watching the line that you chose. So yeah, it's easy to talk through it. Oh yeah, blah, blah, blah. But then to actually watch you do it, you know, that one time where I sessioned it a bunch, it was kind of a game changer because you had talked through what you were doing. And then once I actually watched you, I was like, well, it doesn't look like it would work. Paul's making it look like a cakewalk. Like, you make it look so easy when you do it.
I like my far river left line.
Yeah. And it's a little, I'm like, God, why does it, he makes it look so easy. Why am I struggling with this? If Sub Paul can do it, I can do it.
It's pronounced super.
No, if Super Paul can do it, I can do it.
I'm kidding. That's just, yeah, it's just super. That's how I'm
just... I can just drop the Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Can I start like talking about how big your head is sometimes? Watching your super ego swell over there.
In all seriousness, it's wonderful to be on the sidelines. Mm-hmm. And watch other people lead the sport. It's wonderful to see how curriculum and content, et cetera, is encouraging people to get on the river. So I love watching your group of river paddleboarding friends, and they're your group of river paddleboarding friends session that rapid or run. And
yeah,
it's completely, I'm there on the river and I'm a part of the group, but I love the fact that I'm not the one that's capitalizing it.
No.
For most of my stuff, it used to be the Paul show, for sure.
Well, it's...
My ex-wife could testify to that.
Well, it doesn't feel like that at all. And I think that's been part of it, too, is going with a group of people who we're all sessioning it. We're all trying to pick our lines. And then we can all talk about the different lines and watch how each other runs it. And then be able to say, oh, I see what they did wrong. I'm going to do it differently. And what started happening... is I'd get too tired to run it anymore. I'd get frustrated. I'm not running it as good because I'm tired and frustrated. Like, we head home and then I'm obsessive. I'm obsessed. Like, I can't, it keeps me up at night.
That's the nemesis.
I can't, like, I'm having insomnia, and it's not because I'm worried about stuff. It's because I'm replaying how I ran the rapid and what I want to do differently next time. And it gets, it's all I can think about sometimes. I'm playing it over and over and over in my head. And then I already have a game plan for next time. Okay, I'm gonna, and it starts with that darn wave train.
Yeah, it's the wave train that's the crux.
Yeah.
I think it's the crux because it sets you up either correctly or wrong.
Exactly. If you don't get through that section well, then you're not going to be set up for that rapid at the bottom. And then there's a good place to eddy out on the left. And so, you know, if you can make it across, eddy out there, have a minute to collect yourself, swing around, and then hit it. That's what I'd like to do more and more. So anyway... it was really great. And then the last time we went, we had, we were paddling with a woman who's awesome. She's local and she's never run that river before. And I'm watching her.
We're talking about you, Aaron.
No, we're talking about Natalie.
Oh, that's right.
Natalie. And so Natalie's never run it before. This was interesting, right? So Aaron and I, my friend Aaron, she and I have been working at this rapid. We talk about it. We've run it together and we're kind of cheerleaders for each other with it. And then we have Natalie along and we pull over and we're like, hey, do you want to scout it? And she's like, I don't think so. I'm just going to run it. We're like, okay, fair. And because we don't always scout it.
She was on site. She had never seen it other than driving by it.
Exactly. It was her first time to ever. And she totally nails it. I'm like watching. I'm like, oh my God, she totally nailed that first time going down. And that was an interesting thing too. And it was awesome. You know,
an interesting feeling on your part.
Well, yeah, and I just felt so happy for her and excited. And I was like, hell yeah, she bossed it. Look at her. That was great. And what I think, though, when I see that happen is part of it is I feel like I've built it up in my head to be bigger than what it is. And instead of trying the line, I get intimidated by it. But when I watch other people do it and make it look somewhat easy, I'm like, my God, why don't I just try it and just see what happens? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that line looked harder than the far right line. I don't know, from the top of the rapid, it all looks hard. From the bottom of the rapid, I'm like, oh, why am I worried about this? You know?
Well, her justification for not wanting to scout is she asked a couple of important things. What are the consequences?
Yeah.
And other than swimming back to shore with your leash attached to you and your board with a quick release system, I always have to emphasize that. She was advised, stay straight, stay down the middle of the current. Yes, there's weird lateral waves. There are some rocks to hit. Just if you stay in the center of the river, you'll be fine. And so that was her mindset that generally there's very few consequences other than being a technically challenging river. So she just stayed center and
just went for it.
Went, and her justification was, I didn't want to be in my head.
Yeah.
I didn't want to look at it and analyze it and have people say, well, what about this line? And what about this line? She's like, I don't want to be in my head. I just want to be in my body. I've been paddling great up to this point.
Yeah. I get that. And you know, she sessioned it a whole bunch and she some of the times she got it, some of the times she swam just like the rest of us, but
yeah, she definitely had another clean line, but it wasn't immediately. It was scouting and looking and pointing out lines, and then she did it, you know, three or four more times afterwards and swam most of them.
Yeah.
So she her justification might have been, at least it worked well for her.
No, I get that. So it was interesting, you know, and what was so great is I had been thinking about it so much since we were there, just what, 2 weeks before. I knew exactly what I wanted to do. I knew exactly how I was going to do it. And then I just did it. And it was amazing. And it wasn't pretty. Like looking back at the footage, I'm like, oh God, I look so clumsy. And it almost looks accidental. It was definitely not accidental.
You were on the spot. You were exactly where you wanted to be.
Exactly where I wanted to be at every step, at every, you know, I feel like it was exactly what I wanted to do. And that felt so good to have the amount of control over the board that I wanted, to be able to get the board, to get through that big wave train. I actually went a way I don't normally go. I stayed to the left of the river going down. I was able to hit that eddy a little bit, flip around. You know, I'd already done that first little tongue standing, so I knew that, and then drifting in and then aiming the nose of my board. So for me, that's what the kicker was. And then watching the footage of all the other people that sessioned it that same day, that was really cool because I watched every time they swam, usually the nose of their board was to the right instead of to the left. And that's what you pointed out.
The laterals are what makes or breaks that feature.
Yeah. And so that's what was so cool about all the times I've run it, all the different angles that I've looked at it from, looking at it with you, watching how you did it, and then you pointing out, hey, it's where the nose of your board is. Like, look at where the nose of your board is. And then once I saw it, and it was when I saw it, it was, I can't even describe it. It was like this big ray of light came down and it was like, oh, it made so much sense. And now it's making sense. I think it'll make sense for other rapids for me now. So now that I saw the lines, figured all that out, went through that whole process, and then just tried it, even though it looks a little funky from the top, how that felt to nail it, and then all the working through, I feel like it's going to help me be a better paddler with other rapids as well. So it was really big. And I'll tell you what, that's one of the best feelings that I've had in a long time.
Just the arm pumps.
Oh, I was so excited.
The cheers.
They were cheering because I was screaming. I was like, oh, I can't believe I did it. You know, for a year, I've been trying to do that and to finally nail it standing. And it was awesome. So I normally ride a 9.6. That's what I had been trying to do, was a 9.6. But that day I'd been on an 8.6.
Yep.
On the rest of the river. And then, you know, I tried it a second time on the 8.6. And I think I did really good.
You hit your spots.
I hit my spots.
Your entrance was a little bit more complicated, but you were able to eddy out and set yourself up and you hit all the spots and just the weirdness of the bottom of that feature. But
yeah,
your angling was right. You were squared up to the both laterals.
I'm not super used to an 8.6. So I think if I had hit it just like I hit it on the 9.6, I would have nailed it again. Mm-hmm. But you know what was great about that second run on the 8.6 is, you know, that wave train knocked me to my knees twice. And instead of just being like the first time, on my knees, I'm going to stay on my knees, I got knocked to my knees the first time.
Up.
Yeah. And I was like, no.
Keep on going.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to try this standing on the 8.6. So I popped up and then I got knocked a second time to my knees.
Right back up.
Yeah. And I was almost in the rapid, but that time alone, or that time again, I was like, no, I'm really trying to run this. This is son of a bitch standing, and I popped back up again. So I think also I felt proud for that shift in my thinking and in my motivation and in my dedication to running that standing. It felt great.
Your personal criticisms in the past with this Nemesis Rapid is, oh, I should have just tried it standing. I should have just been standing. My response typically is, find your lines, know what's doing.
Yeah.
The board angles are not quite there for success for a stand. You might get to the bottom, but you're still going to be swimming. So just find your line.
Yeah.
Before whatever reason, you're in a standing position. Standing looks great. Standing's the powerful position. I get why people want to stand. But I was looking at it in the way of find the lines. Be dialed with it every time. And now you're dialed with it standing up. I'd like to see more.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I want to go right now. It's about an hour and a half, maybe, from here. And
That corner, that corner of Western North Carolina.
I love it over there.
And the colors are, we've passed beautiful our peak right season now. Right now for the fall leaves, but it's
really magical.
So let me, I'm going to do a quick little breakdown on the classifications of rapids.
Okay.
For river paddleboarder. You were asking, is that a class two? Is that a class three?
Different people. Sure. Everyone says something different.
And each rapid is a different classification for the more common craft that's on that river. For example, the Rogue River, the Wild and Scenic Rogue, lots of rubber rafts are on there and drift boats. And some of the more complicated technical rapids like Blossom Bar are class five. Mm. Because if something happens.
Yeah.
It's the end of the trip. Your equipment's broken, you're pinned, you're hurt, there have been fatalities there, and they're moved. So the idea of the consequences and the move really qualify the type of rating the rapid is. But on a paddleboard, not to dismiss the danger of that rapid in particular, but on a paddleboard, you could just go straight through picket fence. The series of rocks on the far left, you start on the far left, you stay through far left, and you're out. Class two, you just stay between the rocks. However, because there's so much crap in there, apparently there's pieces of boat and there's oars and things that you don't want to get caught up if you were to swim, even there, like don't go through anywhere through picket fence. But if you didn't know any better, you could just go through picket fence and it's a standard class two anywhere in the world. Or you could take the raft move, which is you start left, you move right behind this big boulder, you turn left and you go straight down the rest of the rapid. Still class two-ish. But anyway, in general, this is how I think of river paddleboarding rapids. Class one, ripples. Great to be on the water, nice sunny day. Still, ideally, you're going to be wearing the river paddleboarding uniform, including a helmet, shoes, etc. Class two is, okay, there's ripples and there's descent, but I could potentially run it not knowing where I'm going or even looking. And I'll end up at the bottom somehow. I might come off the board, But I'll be able to get the board somehow. And that's why class two, shallow class two, is so hard. So if I come off the board, I'm just bouncing in the rock.
Right.
I've hurt myself more in shallow class two than anything else. And class three, I associate, if you come off your board, the board will probably capsize. Or you'll probably capsize, and that's why you come off your board.
Oh.
You get hit by laterals, etc. And you have to make some moves. So there's a move at the top, there's a move at the middle, there's a move at the bottom. And you have to make those moves to successfully get to the bottom. And if you don't make those moves, you're probably going to get offline, you're probably going to bounce into rocks, etc. You're going to capsize, and you're going to get flushed out somehow. So that's what my general class three is. And then class four for a paddleboard is you have to make moves. You have to know your line through those. If you get separated from your board, you might lose your board.
Mm-hmm.
You might get your leash caught into the obstacles. It's not a very good thing, but it's manageable. You could do it potentially. And ideally, now you're paddling with others and you have to be able to catch micro eddies. You're dictating the pace of the group. You're ready there for rescues. And then class five, I think, for a paddleboard, like the gully, is their lethal consequences for being on the water.
Right.
So you have to make your moves. You have to be there for the river community. If you swim, you can separate from your board. You can get leash entrapments. You get foot entrapments. You get sieves. You have to have so much river sense about you and river community. That's what class five is on a paddleboard. So class three is certainly what the photographer's rapid is on the Nantahala, your nemesis rapid, where it begins with fast moving wave trains that could easily send you off course. You have to be able to navigate to stay on course.
Right.
And in the main drop itself is intimidating. You're losing gradient very quickly. And there's a big rock with a hole in the top. There's two lateral. One of the laterals sends you right to a ledge. The other lateral sends you back into the bottom of the pool. So you have to know how laterals are going to affect the angling of your board. So there's moves to make, but there's not a lot of consequence after that other than natural river consequences.
Yeah. So I think it's an interesting discussion because what I hear you continuing to say is for paddleboarders,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's certain rivers or certain rapids that are just known to be a class two mm-hmm. or a class three. Do you feel like you adjust your class system based for paddleboarder versus a regular boater?
In a lot of cases, for a kayaker who knows what they're doing, or they're an intermediate kayaker, they have a good sense of it. If they are off course, they could just skip off rocks.
Sure, you boof it.
Yes, or you could paddle backwards with a double blade system.
Yeah, sure.
The rolling, etc., yeah. and being able to right your boat afterwards or be available for a group for a rescue, that's different topic.
Whitewater Association, yeah. though, that assigns classes to a lot of these.
Exactly.
You know.
So I think the Radio Tower Rapid, I think most hard shell boaters would call that an upper class two, class two plus, because it's just bounce over the shallow rocks, get into the center crux of that rapid and go through it.
Right.
Because there is a corner and a rock at the end of that corner that you get pushed up against it.
Yeah, but it's still very forgiving.
That gives the plus part of it, but not the shallows and not the main drop of that rapid. That is the problem for us.
Yeah.
We hit a rock and we are now swimming.
Right. We're supermaning over which is the story of my life with that rapid. So let me go back to the Nantahala, which is interesting, right? So at the beginning, when you first put on, there's that first section called Patton's Run.
I love that section.
Me too. It's super fun, right? And to me, it's just like, yay, it's big wave trains, da 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 da. It's great. But recently, someone was like, oh, this is the first class three on the river. And I heard someone say that to another boat, another paddleboarder on the river. And I was like, well, that's a class three. And then the very end is a class three. It's very different scenarios. It's very different features on a river, right? But to compare like this just big, wave train kind of to all that what we're talking about, the bottom, and to call both of those class three.
So my question is the capsizing of a board. Would that first rapid capsize the paddleboard?
I don't think so.
So it's not even a class three?
That's my guess. And I questioned, and I think people throw out left and right when you're on the river. Oh, it's this, you know, and what are they basing that on? Oh, what someone told me one time and who, you know. So I don't know. I think that's always interesting though. And I've stopped trying to listen to some of what people say and trust my own abilities to be able to read the river and get through.
There are definitely rivers and river sections, I believe, out there that are rated, and I began it with the reference for the rogue.
Yeah.
Easier on a paddleboard than the more common craft for certain rapids. And the Tieton River in Washington, in central South Washington, that runs only in September. Since I found the gully, I haven't gone back to the Tieton. But it is a class 3+ for all boats. I think some people even call it a class 4. And on a paddleboard, it's a 10-mile-an-hour river. You're averaging 10 miles an hour if you're paddling. And if you're not paddling, you're getting about 8 miles an hour. It's a fast moving, relatively shallow river. That's super, super fun on a paddleboard. One of the complaints that I have about paddleboarding is that it's a 3-mile-an-hour sport. So, I mean, it's hard to gain momentum. If you want to do a boof or a drop off of something, that you just don't have the momentum for it for most cases. But on the Tieton, you feel like you're moving and you see the rocks. It's clear enough to see the rocks, and you just have that sense of, whoo, you get vertigo, in fact. And I've felt that in fast-moving rivers that are like that.
Yeah.
But what makes it a very dangerous river for hard-shell boaters or any boater, if you've been separated from your craft, you're moving quickly, and there's no place to eddy out.
Yeah.
It's a river that doesn't have many eddies. It's shallow, it's narrow, and it's lined with deciduous trees, lots of willows, lots of things that you can't get in, but it could definitely trap a board. It could trap a boat. It could, the sweepers, the strainers. It's one of those things that when you show up there on your paddleboard, the boater community is like, no, that's reckless. But when you're on the river on a paddleboard, you're like, oh, this works. This works really well. And now you become a craft for grabbing swimmers and gear.
Interesting. When we went to Costa Rica, one of the first days, you know, the night before, you know, the guys that knew the river really well was like, oh, yeah, easy, you know, easy day tomorrow, class two, class three. And I'm like, OK, no problem. I got that. And I had a real sense of excitement and like, oh, yeah, I've got this. And then we showed up and it was
shallow.
Well, and it was much bigger water than what we have. You know, here in Western North Carolina, we have creeks and it's rocky and it's shallow a lot. Out there, it was bigger water than what I'm used to. And so I think what I realized that day, like what the class two, class three system that I have in my head didn't play out for my expectations for that day in Costa Rica. And what I know now is those rivers are just really different. And so you explaining all that makes sense. Yeah, it's deeper water than what I'm used to here. So if you swim, you're going to swim. It was deeper though. There was that's how I remember it anyway, but it threw me off a little bit. You know, I was like, oh, I can handle class two, maybe a class three here or there on my paddleboard. And I got worked.
Now all of a sudden the river is taught its basic lesson once again, humility.
Humility. That if you are not comfortable with humility, you shouldn't be a paddleboarder.
And we're going to call out my buddy Alan Pace, who's been on this podcast before, and super, I mean, he's just a wonderful guy, a school teacher from the Wenatchee Valley. One of the better river paddleboarders I've known for a while. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that the first time I went paddling with him, we were paddling big water Wenatchee. So the rivers that we're on here in North Carolina are, what, 2,000 CFS at the most?
Yeah, maybe.
So it starts getting good at 10,000 CFS. And it goes up to 20,000+ CFS on the Wenatchee. Wow. I've yet to make it at the big water level. I've been there about 15,000. And to his chagrin, he's like, oh, it's coming up. Where are you at? Oh, you're nowhere
across
around. I guess you're not coming this season. Huh? Yeah. But anyway, so We're paddling. Let's say it was between 8 and 12,000 CFS. One of the first times I was there, like finding local knowledge. Oh, yeah, everybody, you go to Allen. You want to paddle on the Wenatchee, you go to Allen. And now it's Caitlin Katzen as well and some other people. But when I met him 6 years or so ago now, we're going down big wave trains, like house-sized wave trains. And Allen, one of the things that Allen's known for is his storytelling.
Ah.
So he would be telling a story. We'd go through a wave train, and I'm just holding on for dear life. He's still telling the story. Sometimes he'd get bucked off in the crest. And when he emerged telling the story, but like two or three sentences later.
he didn't slow down.
So when I was super impressed with this guy, I'm like, oh my, like, you're amazing, Allen. You're one of the best river paddleboarders I've yet to come across. You have to come to the White Salmon with me. Mm-hmm. Like, let's sign me up. Let's go. So we went to the White Salmon in Washington, in Southern Washington. The Wenatchee is in Central Washington, a couple few hour drive down to the White Salmon. We got on the middle, which I consider to be a test piece river for intermediate and advanced river paddleboarders.
Did we do the lower?
We did the lower, exactly. Okay, yeah. So we started below Husum.
Okay, yeah.
So for anybody who wants to give a sense of where they are in the river paddleboarding world as far as a ranking for themselves, upper advanced river paddleboarders have to have the middle White Salmon. It's only a 5 mile long section. It's rated class 3.
Okay.
Class 3 plus, but it is the test piece of where you're at as a river paddleboarder. It's shallow, it's fast, it's cold, it's scenic, clear water.
It's gorgeous.
It's gorgeous, and you have to make your move.
Yeah.
And if you don't make your moves, you're swimming through lava rock.
Yeah.
Sharp rock, and it's to the left 3 inches, and you've missed it.
Right.
To the right a foot, and you're all sorts of weird.
Yeah.
So it's intimidating water, and it's a test piece. But anyway, so I took Allen to the White Salmon. When we got to Husum Falls, we portaged Husum Falls, but his eyes were big. And he was genuinely pissed at me. Like, what did you get me into here? Like, what was this all about? I don't think he spoke to me for a couple of weeks. It was one of those things that he had to process. Because he associated with being a good river paddleboarder.
Well, you get used to the rivers in your area.
Yeah.
You know.
And big water is not what the is what the middle White Salmon is.
And you know, I'm not used to big water here. We just don't have it around here. We don't. And then when I did the lower White Salmon, it was big water. It's gorgeous, but it's, you know, I loved running it twice.
Yeah.
So the first time we ran it, it took me a minute. It took me kind of that first run to figure out, oh, whoa, this is different than what I've done before. Mm-hmm. And the second run, I was like, oh my God, this is awesome. You know, I could really just enjoy it.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah, it's really cool. And I think, you know, I think Costa Rica was the same. It was very different. And, you know, I've lived here in Western North Carolina for a long time. I know the rivers around here, and I'm used to our creeks, the creakiness. And so I think that's really a beautiful thing about the sport, is checking out different rivers. But that's where the class 2, class 3, class 4 system is different, because if you're used to your class 2, class 3 on your home rivers, you go to Costa Rica, you go to a different part of the country, that looks different. It looks different on different rivers. They still call it a class 2 or class 3 there, but it may rock your world because it's different than what you're used to in your hometown, in your home area, home region.
And you'll have such non-event looking rapid, like on the Kananaskis in Alberta. The opening rapid is called Widowmaker. Intimidating first name. I get it.
Yeah.
But all it is a small drop. Maybe a couple of foot of gradient drop in a short period of time into a big pool.
Mm.
All right, sweet.
Yeah.
But that gradient drop with it's deep. It's very, very deep. With the type of rocks that are there creates a whirlpool.
Mm.
So if you happen to fall in or get sucked in into that whirlpool, you have a significant downtime.
Mm.
So, and I've seen people come up, kayakers, if they've swum, paddleboarders with the biggest eyes. So you have this rapid that might be 5 feet long at the most. And if you get in the right lines, oh, that's easy. It's really interesting because you feel the pullback. It's almost like a hole, but it's not a hole. Well, obviously it is a hole if it's a whirlpool, but it just doesn't look anything. So when you look at that rapid, they're like, this is a class 3+. Like, what's going on here? It's a class 3+ because one, it will drown your dog if your dog swims there. And that's happened.
That's crazy.
It will also pull you to the bottom of your leash. And people have climbed their leash back up.
Yeah. Oh, it's so interesting. So if you're going to be paddling a river for the first time, maybe it pays to have someone with you that knows that river that can talk through that. So just for me to just be like, oh, I'm going to hit this river. It says it's class 2. I know class 2. I know class 3. I feel comfortable. I've done it a million times, you know, but to not know that river, to not know the consequences, to not know some of the specific things that you're bringing up it's a thing.
It is a thing. And ratings are just a basic. They're a foundation. They are. Okay, we have this class 2, what that might mean, but shallow class. Have I mentioned the fact I don't like shallow class 2s?
Well, you probably hate paddling around here. That's about all we have.
I like paddling with you.
Oh.
And a little bit of time.
It's 'cause I take you home with me.
Oh. The little bit of time that we have talking about Nemesis Rapids. How does the flow of the river change with different size boards or different material boards? We're experimenting with different size boards.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed that. And I think, so different size boards is interesting. So a year ago, I was very, very beginner. And, you know, is when you and I first started paddleboarding together, and you kept trying to kind of put me on these different size boards. And I was like, no, let me just get comfortable with the 9.6. Once I'm comfortable with the 9.6, then I can try. And now I've had a lot of fun trying different things. And that's part of what's fun too, right? So you have your Nemesis Rapid, you nail it on your 9.6. All of a sudden you're like, huh, what would this be like on an 8.6 or a 7.11? You know, what would it be like in high water versus low water? And that is part of the beauty of it. It can always be something different. The river's different depending on levels all the time. So it's awesome.
And different size, different buoyancies, different shapes, whether it be a board that you get at a box store for $200 or a river specific board, they're all going to perform a little bit differently.
A hard board versus an inflatable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the whole debate between epoxy boards or inflatable boards. If you're a purist, you're going to call inflatables the blow-up boards, those pool toys. And you're going to talk about how wonderful these epoxy boards are that are limited to a certain degree and require a certain thing, but really great at doing certain things. I think the more you travel, the more you experiment, the more Nemesis Rapids you have that you are deliberate about navigating, and you have to stand up, swim down. That's what I call the nature of this sport. To get better at it, it requires some swims. And I think that's why a lot of people are not very attracted to river paddleboarding initially, because the idea of swimming in the river is...
Not everyone's comfortable with that. Yeah.
So I've been loving watching your progression, and I've been loving watching your enthusiasm, even if your enthusiasm is a little bit of frustration to go back to a Nemesis Rapid and do it over and over again, and now experimenting with different size boards.
It's been fun.
Love it. You told me about an experience that was down in the lower with Dale and Aylin and doing a variety of surfing exercises with a quiver of boards.
Yeah, they had all different sizes and all different types of boards, and they had hard boards, and they had, you know, the inflatables, and it was really interesting because I don't remember how many boards I tried that day, but I tried the 7-Eleven, the Hala Atcha 7-Eleven, and it was the one board that just felt super squirrely. And I was like, I mean, I tried it one, maybe twice, and there were plenty of other boards there to test out. And it was the one board that I was like, yep, nope, that's not for me.
Nope.
Yeah, I tossed it to the side, and I was like, thank you, but no thank you. I have no desire to try that. And then, you know, a week or so ago, had a lot of fun on the 8.6, and then today jumped back on the 7-Eleven, and I was like, wait, it felt totally different almost. And it was so fun. It was so agile. It was so easy. It was so quick to respond. It was so easy for me to manipulate. And that 9.6, I think, is a little I think if I had a little bit more weight to me almost, and I don't know that for sure.
It's a buoyant board. It's the gold standard, but it's a big buoyant board.
And I felt really safe on a 9.6. Mm-hmm. I felt like, oh, I felt protected. I feel like I can do anything on a 9.6. And it's been really nice getting out of that headspace a little bit and really enjoying the 8.6. And then today, just the maneuverability, like it was so easy to just, with my body, not even with the paddle, to be able to make moves like, the paddle was secondary to what I was doing with my body, and how reactive the board was to just my body alone was so fun.
Yeah. And one of the things that we did today at Hominy Park here in Asheville, slow moving, shallow section of water. We didn't get all river geared up.
No.
We didn't have any obligations with shuttles or a group or photography.
Yeah.
We're just moving around in the shallows, attaining, going up river, coming back down, working. There's like a removed dam, bridge, whatever those pilings were, but we're using those as both surf spots and eddy out spots. And I think without having the stress of running down a river with rapids and people, et cetera, it allowed us to just feel what the boards are. Can I go straight? Can I go backwards? What happens if I pivot?
Yeah, it was great. I was like, if I'm all the way on the very back of the board, oh, it feels like this. Oh, if I'm all the way on the nose of the board, all the way forward, oh, apparently I'll fall over. You know, it was great though. It was really fun. And it allowed me to really get the feel of that board without jumping onto white water,
sure.
Which often, you know, we're arriving at the put-in with other friends and we're jumping onto the river and I'm about to be right into white water. And this was so great to really just play around. And I think I have had an intimidation factor, sure. Or I've just been sure. Like, oh yeah, I have no desire to be on a 7-Eleven because I, in my head, felt like it was really squirrely and I didn't feel like that today.
That's great.
And that feels great. You know, that feels great to have been so confident today and to feel such a level of control on the river and of that board.
And your progression is a part of that. The willingness to experiment with different things.
Yeah.
The size of boards, the type of water, fin configuration. Mm-hmm. And I always am an advocate, even though you don't see me doing it very regularly. Yeah, I could preach the gospel of river stuff, but I don't necessarily always follow its tenets. On a lake or slow moving river, go and experiment with whatever. Your buddy's board that he bought at Kmart.
Yeah.
Your buddy's board that he spent $2,000 on. Your quiver of boards, whatever is, experiment in different types of water and different stances.
Yeah.
And you're really doing that. And I think the more you do that, the more I'm watching your progression just go from a good little plateau to, whoa, that's
pretty
progression.
Rapid.
Exactly.
Yeah, it feels really, really good. And I think part of that is my ability to be able to laugh at myself, to not take myself seriously. I'm fine with swimming.
Yeah.
Sometimes, actually, a good swim is sometimes one of my favorite parts of my day on the river. You know, I mean, and so I think that's been, I think attitude is part of it and being able to try it again and again and again. And so it's awesome. It's similar to a few other things that I like to do where it's like a physical puzzle that you're trying to figure out. You know, you're in the environment, you're in nature, it's happening, the river's going, the water's going, you're in your mind because you're thinking about what your body's doing, you're thinking about what the board's doing, and you're tying all that together. Mm-hmm. So to be able to be in your mind, connect that so deeply to your body, to be connected to a board and to a paddle. How does this work? How does it all work together? And then to be working with the river or the lake or whatever body of water you're on, that's just really a beautiful thing to tie, be able to tie all those things together. It feels like figuring out a puzzle for me. And I just love it. It's great. It's addictive. It's obsessive. It is. I often wake up thinking about paddleboarding, and sometimes it keeps me up at night. And if I could, you know, I wish some of these rivers were even closer. So,
audience, reach out to the Sup Paul channels, the YouTubes, the Instagrams, etc. Reach out. We want to hear about your Nemesis Rapids, your experiences, and now that Megan Christian is going to hopefully, are you into it? Spend more time doing co-hosting with me about the river and all things paddleboarding and other things. If you're game to play along, Megan. I'm stoked, and I know my audience would love to hear other than my voice.
I think they could use a little female perspective.
Absolutely, or just different perspective.
Yeah, and I think when you first asked me about it, I was a little like, oh, why would anyone want to hear my perspective? Because I feel like a lot of your listeners maybe are more advanced paddlers than me. But I also feel like I'd love people that maybe that aren't advanced paddlers to be able to hear my voice and say, oh, if she can do it, I can do it. And to hopefully make it just to broaden the conversation. So, you know, I love talking to you. We do it a lot. I'm happy to do it recording.
Reach out to us.
Yeah, I want to hear everyone else's arch nemesis rapids, because maybe we could start visiting some of these rapids.
Love it. Until next time, thanks for listening.
Thanks for talking.